was hard. I've had like some of the best time playing netball, and that's all I've ever known. So it was a really big decision, but I know in my gut it's the right thing. I've been thinking about it for a little while, and my body's definitely telling me it's time.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Nothing But Nets Ball with Seabass and Coco. And wow, what a fantastic semi-final round on the weekend. I'm going to talk to you about the major semi-final to start off with, which was Swifts and the Thunderbirds. It went into extra time. It's so funny because we have a little group chat for commentators, and each week Annie Sargent is begging for extra time and we never get it. So finally her wish came true.
Well, every week we're always like, is this going to go to extra time when it was the ANZ Premiership? And we're just like, nah, it won't happen. And then we got so many. So I'm glad you guys got that thriller finish in that final minute to send it to overtime.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. 58 all at full time. Lucy Austin, so Thunderbirds were down by a goal. She went for the two-pointer, which good on her. I would have done that, try and win the game. She missed it. Swifts got the rebound. Maddie Turner had the ball and just launched it. And then Taylor Williams just came up with this intercept. In my head, I was watching like from home and I was like, oh, the game's over. It's done. Like Swifts have won. And then Taylor Williams gets this intercept and gets it back into the circle. Lucy Austin gets another shot, and not just an easy one, but like a long range just inside the super shot line. Nails the one-pointer, sends them into extra time. At this stage, like my palms are super sweaty. Everyone's going crazy. And then, so then there was 5 minutes to play. They didn't do a changeover. They could do rolling subs still. The two-pointer remained in play. And Thunderbirds ended up just getting more ball. There was a couple of calls, some coach killers throughout the game from Swifts, which really surprised me. There was over third. There was some replays that got called. There was an offensive contact. Like, I think it was really physical out there. And I think Swifts were definitely the ones that maybe got a little bit distracted by that physicality at times and went away from their game plan. Their feed into Aiken George at times as well was really coming from the chest. And that's what Shamira Sterling just loves to gobble up, those low release balls. So yeah, a little bit of crack in the Swifts armor, but they get another opportunity next week. Were you surprised?
I was surprised. And like, I keep seeing that final minute all over social media. And I think like Romelda, when she took that final shot, like incredible. And then, and I think they thought that's us. But I mean, like you said, you got to go to the final whistle. But also in my head too, I was like, oh my gosh, like you've got Romelda and Shamira, both who will be playing for Jamaica at the World Cup, who are both incredible.
Yes. And look, the last time that the Thunderbirds made a final was 10 years ago. It's when they won the grand final. So very serendipitous. I think, you know, their season started really strongly. They've had some dips, but they've made it to the grand final game. They won the game that they needed to. So they will be heading to Melbourne for the grand final. The minor final happened between the West Coast Fever and the Vixens. Fever ended up winning that game by 7 goals. MVP was Janelle Fowler. She shot 55 from 56. And it's interesting. She normally puts up that low. Like every week she does that. And I think we kind of just expect that, like Grace Nwicki, that she's just going to shoot a bag load of goals every week. So great to see her, I guess, being rewarded for the pressure and the consistency that she is under every single week. Interesting for the Vixens. I think they were forced to make a few changes. Joe Weston unfortunately hurt her ankle and had to come from the court. Mannix got pushed out then to goal defense. Later on, Mannix then got injured. Like there was just a few things I think they were forced to make changes. I was expecting to see Hannah Mundy get out there at one stage as well, but we didn't see her. Maybe she was an injection that they could have used at times, but where it came unstuck for me for the Vixens, I guess, was they didn't want to put up any long-range shots. Like, Kamwenda had the opportunity to sink a couple of super shots and she passed them off. That put greater pressure on Kira Austin, who, you know, ended up only shooting 3 from 8. So the pressure was back on her. So Vixens, unfortunately, their season is done, which, you know, is disappointing considering their grand final is going to be in Melbourne. So there's not going to be a home team for the grand final this year, but it means the Fever get another opportunity and they roll on to play the Swifts.
They do. And I was looking at all the stats and Fever won every quarter. And now it's making me think. And then, I mean, like you mentioned, Janelle, she shot 55-57, so 97%, which is just outrageous. So like when you think about it, it's going to be pretty much Janelle at one end, Romelda at the other end. I mean, it's going to be a tough day for defenders.
It is. And do you know who really stood up? Courtney Bruce, 15 deflections. And where she really came into play, she was a bit quiet to start off with, but she really came up with the goods in that last quarter, which built momentum for the team. Just when I thought, oh, Vixens can get this and they'll get it down court and get a super shot, she just, you know, rejected, smashed the ball out of court. Sasha Glasgow got a really important tip, which led to an intercept. So just things like that. They actually played four-quarter netball, which we haven't seen, and we've probably criticised them at times for this season. So their coach, Dan Ryan, was very happy at the end of the game.
Oh, I bet he was.
Okay, well, that brings us to this week's guest on Breaking the Zone. She has recently announced her retirement from both international and domestic netball. She's an absolute superstar, Australian Diamonds player, Giants defender. Let's welcome April Brandley. Which brings us to our guest this week. She's played for the Australian Diamonds. She's recently retired from Suncorp Super Netball playing with the Giants. It's the one, the only, April Brandley. Thanks for joining us, AP.
Thanks for having me, girls.
Now, congratulations. You've just announced your retirement from netball. You debuted in 2011. You played with both of us in 13 seasons. Was it really hard to, you know, step away and say, no, I've had enough of netball?
It was hard. I've had like some of the best times playing netball, and that's all I've ever known. So it was a really big decision. But it just, I know in my gut it's the right thing. I've been thinking about it for a little while, and my body's definitely telling me it's time.
I know that feeling.
And yeah, yep. The knees are crying with every step going up my stairs at my home. No, it was a really hard decision, but yeah, it just felt right in my gut. And yeah, after the weekend, everything just fell into place perfectly. So I'm, yeah, really happy.
What was that like for you, April, when the game finished? Obviously, the team sent you out how you'd want on a win, but also just, I guess, having all the people there and just, and even what are some of them have said about you and how great a not only player but person you are?
Oh, it means so much, honestly. It's been such an emotional week. Like some of the messages that I've got, I don't really think of myself like that, I don't know. It's just been really nice. I felt really touched and super honored to get such nice messages. I was in a bit of shock. When some people sent me the loveliest messages, and I'm just so grateful. Yeah, it's been the best. It's it literally feels like a bit of a fairy tale ending. Obviously, it would have been great to make finals, but the situation that we're in and the weekend that we had and the game the girls played and just having my family in the crowd and the way the Giants, like, oh, they've just been incredible. It's still a bit of a blur, but I'm still on the high from the weekend. I'm feeling pretty stoked.
It was funny. I was actually at the airport and ran into Shay Bolton, flew down to Tasmania to watch Ash Braz's last game and then was flying up to watch your last game. Like, how cool is it? You've obviously made such an impact on so many different people's lives. I actually didn't realise, looking back, I saw a photo the Giants put up and it was your teammates at Giants that were wearing all different uniforms from different teams you've played with. I didn't realise you played. Like, I totally forgot you played for Firebirds, even Collingwood. I forgot you played for Collingwood. How awesome is that? Do you have some favourite memories, teammates, maybe moments from some of the first games that you've played across the years?
Oh, gosh. Pressure's on, Seabass and Courtney. I've played with you both. I've been to a lot of teams. It was such a cool surprise. The girls were wearing our robes and they're like, we're wearing our robes out on court today. And I'm like, what the hell are these girls doing? Crazy. Anyway, and they start doing this strip show and then they have all my different dresses underneath. So it was so nice. Favorite team. I don't know. I really don't have a favorite. It's like asking for a favorite child. You know, you just love them all for different reasons. But yeah, each like team gave me a different experience and different journey, and I met different people. So I think for West Coast Fever was a massive like breakout year for me. I got on court, we got to play together Seabass, experience the West life over there. And then coming to Collingwood as well, that was a huge change. You know, the first ever time Collingwood had a team, now full circle, they don't have a team anymore. Yeah, so I feel like each team I've been at have been really like part of my journey and helping me develop me as a player and a person. And obviously playing in a lot of teams, you meet a lot of amazing people. So yeah, I'm super blessed with all of the teams I've played in and the people that I've met. So yeah.
And one of those teams obviously is the Diamonds, and you played 39 games for them. So do you have a favorite Diamonds memory?
Oh, there's so many funny ones. Oh gosh. So many funny ones, but one that pops into my head, this is outrageous, it was so funny, when Gretel Tippett or Gretel Buetta was in the team, and we had a test series over in New Zealand, and we're getting our stuff ready, we're leaving really early in the morning, and she's like, oh my god, I can't find my passport, I don't know where it is, we're looking for ages, she's starting to freak out a little bit, and then we're in our room and she puts her hand like in her pocket. And I just see her face, like, oh, what's this? And she pulls this thing out. It looks like a washed, like, tissue or something like that in a ball. You could see just this little, like, smushed face from her butt. And she's freaking out. And I just could not stop laughing. So funny. And she's like, oh my god, what am I gonna do? Like, she's just got this little round like rubbish ball, which is her passport. Thank god our team manager was an absolute angel at the time, somehow fixed it up, not the passport, just sorted it out at the airport. And you know, Gretel Buetta, everyone knows who she is, so it turned out to be all good. So funny though.
Dad, she left it in her pants and washed it.
Yeah. Just like the facial, like when she put her hand in her pocket, like just I was watching her and her face was sort of like, oh, like the realization of what had just happened. And then I took a photo of the face because it was so
I love that.
One of the photos I did find was when we went on Aussie camp once and we had to do a play because Lisa Alexander used to love stuff like that. And there's a photo and you're dressed like a snake. And the best thing is, AP, no matter whenever a costume theme happened, she went all out. And
all out.
I'll post this photo because it is gold. Like, she's
dressed oh, like God.
We do love a dress up though, don't we?
Some of the stuff you do, you're like, this is outrageous. But, you know, one in all in, you've got to go for it.
I agree. One of my favorite April memories is when we were in New South Wales 17s and April was only 14. Like she was a baby. And then you had to go around and say like what you bring to the team. And I still remember April was like, I've got this finger.
What is wrong with me?
You've got a finger.
She's like, it's like bionic, like extra extend. So I don't think I'm going to hit intercept. And then my finger gets the intercept.
Oh my God. What the heck?
We were like,
God, what is wrong with me?
I just say we did win and April did get a lot of intercepts. So she wasn't lying.
You're like, that's the secret, is it? Having the finger.
Oh, I'm crying. I'm actually crying.
God. Oh, my brain works like this sometimes.
But like to think, I'm like, you're only 14, like it's crazy. And like to see all that you've accomplished is beautiful.
Oh, it's so good. You got to win, you got to finish the season with a win. Obviously, winning is an important and awesome part of netball, but what are you gonna miss the most about playing, do you think?
Oh my gosh, just the girls. It's just like a ridiculous job. It's the best job in the world. Like you go in, get fit, play the sport that you love, be around the people that you love. You're so well supported. Like just the whole thing. Like it's the best job in the whole world. Yeah, I'll definitely miss the friendships and definitely the girls a lot. It's all I've ever known. So I don't really know what it's going to look like now. I'm going to have to make a new crew.
Don't worry, we can be Shire crew.
Anyone?
The Shire crew. Well, you could be part of like a mum crew, and that's something we always love asking the netballers that come on here that are mums, and just how your life and being a player changed before having Clay and then after having Clay.
Oh, it's just like everything changed. People are like, oh, when you have kids, not much change. You're like, oh, yeah, right, no, thanks, mate. That's not true. No, it's a lot changes, but it's been the best for me personally. Before having Clay, I was a bit of a netty head, which is all right. I was young and you just put everything into it and all guns blazing, you know, straight into netball mode. But I think after having Clay, it's given me like a much more open perspective about life and what I value, and just giving me, I guess he just makes me laugh every day. Like, he's so crazy like me. He's like an adventure kid. And to be able to bring him along to like the journey of netball with like my whole family has been really special. Yeah, to think that he was in a hub when he was like 5 months old, like they say at daycare, a lot of COVID kids are really shy because they, you know, obviously didn't get out as much because of isolation and lockdown, but he's just the opposite because he's been around all the girls all the time. So we're very lucky to have had that experience with him, and he's super social. So, yeah, my life has completely changed, but way, like, it's for the better, 100%. It made it so much more enjoyable.
If you could go back and give some advice to young April Letton, it used to be, some young April at the start of her career, what would it be? Would you still tell the finger story? Would you tell her to keep that story?
Yes, please.
Don't do stupid shit. Don't say that. No, I'll be serious now. No, probably in terms of like a netball perspective, I never really like believed in myself. I say this to young kids. I never really backed myself. So I think having people around you that bring out the best in you and support you to want to be better and do better is really important. It, like at that time when I was younger, it was my dad. He was like, just go along, have a crack, see what happens at tryouts and stuff. So that was really special to have him there pushing me along. But yeah, just, I don't know. Sometimes I think when you're in it, you take it a bit too seriously. So just being able to have a laugh at yourself and, yeah, not take it too seriously and enjoy it.
Which are some of the coaches that brought that out in you, April, your self-confidence? And because obviously they pick you because they believe in you. So those moments when you didn't, mm-hmm. who were some of the coaches that did believe in you?
Rob Wright was a huge one at the start, New South Wales days. He was the one that picked me at 14.
So yes.
17 and under. Yeah. With you, Cordo.
Yep. He's one of mine too.
He really, I don't know. He just, there's something about him. He's such a good coach. Like, he's just such a good, especially defensive coach. I was so lucky to have him so early on. He was a huge influence at the start of my netball journey, I'd say. And then another one that stands out was when I moved to West Coast, Stacey Marinkovic. Now she's just a legend. Like, I think the coaches that like really stick with you are the ones that are more than just netball coaches. They just, I don't know, affect a part of you as being a human and make you a better human, and it just, yeah, brings out the best in you, and they're the ones that kind of leave the footprints, I guess, in your memory. And and then, yeah, obviously I feel like every coach I've had at certain times in my career has really like served my journey. Sounds so lame. It really has, you know, because I had Stacey, which, you know, she was so helpful with helping me get confident and getting like on the court. And that was a whole new kind of experience being a starting player, like coming off the bench. And then like Collingwood was obviously quite challenging, which kind of built resilience for me. But then I made an awesome like group like of like friends that's now my mum's group, like Shay Brown and Shay Bolton and Ash Brazel. I just said Shay's name twice. She's just one person.
She's got two kids, so you know.
Yeah, you know. And Kim Rabb, and then coming back with Jules, like, she's just been number one supporter of family and just bringing my whole family along for the ride, and it's been incredible. So yeah,
that's so good. Tell us, looking back over the years that you've played, who do you rate as your hardest opponent ever? Who are you glad that you're never going to have to play again?
Hello, Seabass. I see you.
never played on each other that much. You were always out of goal defense.
Definitely like just Janiel in general, because she's just so hard to get win the ball off. And then Nat was really hard because I found it's just so fit, and I was like a goalkeeper moving out to goal defense, and I was like, oh my gosh, am I gonna keep up with this girl for the whole game? And she was very smart as well. But yeah, like I think it's the combination that works together which makes it hard, because you got like a Steph Wood as well, who's like incredibly intelligent. If you put her with like a Gretel, you're like, oh my gosh, this is insane. So yeah, a lot of people in there.
And what about a defensive combo? That who did you love playing with, or who did you find you had the best combination within the circle?
Oh, I just loved being able to play with Geitze. It was the best, playing for Aussies with her. Just, oh, she's just such an inspirational leader, a great person, super down to earth. And I just felt super safe. And, like, yeah, I absolutely loved playing with her. She was, yeah, I loved her. It was a fave.
And April, who do you rate as the best netballer in the world at the moment?
Oh, Jesus. I'd say Janiel. She's pretty, like, unstoppable. But I will add in, she's my new favourite, Jamaican, Laddie, LaTanya Wilson. Yes. She's just incredible. And she just looks like the cutest person ever, but she just gets every ball possible. I'm like, oh, my gosh, she's incredible. So it'd be good to watch her at World Cup too.
Yeah, well, speaking of World Cups on the horizon, we played at the last World Cup. Who do you think is going to be Australia's biggest threat?
Jamaica. You know it. Yeah, they're going to be tough. I think that's exciting, though. That's what we want. We want to be playing against the best. So I can't wait to watch this World Cup and see how it all unfolds. They've just got so many people that have developed through, like, the SSN and have been super exciting in the league. So they're just getting stronger and stronger. So I can't wait to see what they put out there.
Well, speaking of watching the World Cup, April, what is next for you? What are you going to do now that you don't have to go to trainings and you don't have to go to games?
The feet are going up.
What are you going to do with that finger now? It's no longer getting intercepts.
The finger is going away.
The finger is
going to be pointing at my son. It's taking on a new role. Get in the shower. No, I'm just gonna relax for a bit. I don't know, I don't really have any like solid plans, but I'm just gonna be open and trusting whatever comes will come. And you know, I'd love to still be involved in the sport. I feel like it's given me so much, so I'd love to be able to give back in some way, whether that's coaching, mentoring, something along those lines. And I also want to do like Pilates stuff, so you know, I've been seeing you doing Rav's abs, Seabass, so you'll have to come along to some of my Pilates sessions.
Please, I've been wanting to find a Pilates place. So, you like, this is music to my ears.
Now you can go in the Shire together.
Yes.
Oh, it sounds good.
I think it's great that you're taking some time out, because you've obviously had a huge career. Like you said, this has been your life. So how cool is it that you can take a little bit of time now and figure out what your next steps are? I feel like a lot of athletes feel like they're pressured just to jump onto the next thing straight away. But I love the self-awareness that you're like, nah, I'm just going to like take a breath and see what happens and see what comes. I think that's awesome. Good work, you.
Oh, thank you. It's like, I feel like I'm in year 12 and they're like, what are you going to do with your life next? Are you going to go to uni? I don't know.
I could see you in the coaching space, April. I definitely think I could.
I just don't want to be like a psycho, you know, some of the coaches.
Honestly, when I did coaching over here and I got that into it and I was that stressed, I was like, I don't think I can handle this.
I don't know. I just don't picture myself as a head coach ever.
Yeah, but you could be the assistant or a specialist.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah.
All right, we'll move on to this or that. Pick an option and tell us why. We'll start off with Insta or TikTok.
Oh, I don't have TikTok, so Insta.
Good answer.
I'm old.
Tea or coffee?
Coffee, baby.
And what's your order?
What do you think it is? I feel like you can look at people and guess their coffee order.
A soy cappuccino.
What would you get? No.
An oat latte?
Soy latte.
Are you fussy about the soy? Does it have to be, you know, bon soy?
I am so fussy now, thanks to living in Melbourne. It's like happy soy boy or bon soy.
I love it. GD or GK, what did you prefer to play?
I think I like GK.
Less running?
Yeah.
Would you rather text or call?
Oh, definitely text. Yeah. I'm such an awkward turtle on the phone.
It's a video call, though. It's fun.
Yeah.
So this one might be hard. Yoga or Pilates? Because I know you're into a little bit of both.
Well, I actually did a class a couple of years ago called Yoga Lattes. So can I make a hybrid?
You can. you can.
Yoga.
What was that like? What did you do?
It was so good. It was like a bit of like, you know, core activation and getting the like muscles going. And then you could sort of like stretch it out with a bit of chill in between. I really liked it.
That's some really of me, fun. I reckon.
Yeah. It's like my personality, a bit like psycho, but then a bit chill, and then a bit full on, and then a bit chill. Oh, God, I can't believe this is going to air. How embarrassing.
We can edit it out. Don't worry. Book. Book or movie?
Probably movie. Yeah. I'm like a bit of a binge book reader. When I do it, I'm like all in, but when I don't, it'll be like months will go past between reading books. So, yeah.
Lastly, what are you not going to miss about netball?
Oh, gosh, warming up. It's the most painful thing ever. My knees are like, I look like a 90-year-old woman. Definitely not going to miss warming up. It's definitely the worst when you hit over the 27 club.
I agree. I always say if I could still play game day, I'd love to just be able to play the game. But it's the warming up. It's all the trainings during the week. Like, can't do it.
I know, I'd be exactly the same. Sign me up for game day and that's it. Can you do that?
Yeah. There's social teams out there that don't train. They just play.
I think we should join one. Let's make one up.
As long as there's free physio, of course I'd do it. Afy, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on an incredible career. You've not just been an amazing athlete, but an amazing human as well. And we're so excited to see what you decide to do next and enjoy some downtime in the meantime.
Thank you, legends. You guys are the best. It was so good to chat with you today.
We love you.
Oh, we love you.
I'm so proud that I got to play with April Brandley. What an incredible player and such an awesome teammate and human. I know whatever she wants to do next and, you know, it's probably going to be some well-being, some Pilates, some maybe some netball coaching. I know that she's going to be absolutely amazing at that too.
I agree. And just watching her, like I said, I've known her since she was 14 when we first played together, but we also played together at the Swifts. But just watching her career, but also being such a good person. And you can still see it. You can hear it in her interview. Like, she's still herself after all these years. You know, she's just AP, who we absolutely love. And then, you know, also being a mum too, it's been incredible to absolutely watch her journey. And so I'm excited to see this next phase of her life and what she's going to do. All right, Seabass, it is the penultimate round. It's the second last round for the finals of SSN. What are you thinking?
Well, it's going to be a tough one. It's Swifts and Fever. It's happening here in Sydney. In round 9, when these two teams played each other, Swifts won by 1 goal. They snatched it at the very end of the game. In round 4, when they played each other before that, Fever won by 11 goals. So Fever surely will take some confidence knowing that they have beaten Swifts this year and they've done it convincingly. I think Swifts are going to be a little bit rattled, though. They've come off 2 losses now in a row. They lost their last game against the Thunderbirds. They lost round 14 against the Thunderbirds. So they know if they want to beat the Thunderbirds and make it into the grand final and win that grand final, they're going to have to start pulling out some stops now. It's interesting. Tegan O'Shaughnessy, she's been out with the injury for, you know, the back half of the season. She came back and she actually played in the game against the Thunderbirds. She got out there. She took a couple of intercepts. It was great to see her back out there. Are they going to play her again? She probably needs a little bit of game time in her legs. Ali Smith, you know, their wing defense, who had an amazing first start to the season, has also been out injured. Will she be back ready in time? And if so, do they risk her in that final when she hasn't played for such a long time? But look, I think it's just mouthwatering, isn't it? Like you mentioned before, the two Jamaicans at either end of the court. We have two super shot superstars in Glasgow and Housby. And, you know, there's a few different directions they can go in attacking-wise and defensive-wise in both teams if they need to make any changes.
Who do you think needs to have a big game from each team if you have to pick a player from each team? For me, I think it might be the goal attacks that you mentioned, like getting those super shots. But I don't know, from your perspective, Seabass, who really needs to stand up this week?
Well, it's interesting. We talked about Fever. When Glasgow is on, she is their barometer. So when she plays well, Fever play well. So whoever gets the job on her, and it could be Sarah Clow, it could be Maddie Turner. You know, there's a couple of different options that they can roll through in that goal defense bib. So they can put Tegan O'Shaughnessy there if they want to as well. They're going to have to do the job in shutting her down and keeping her quiet, because she really is the linchpin in that attacking end. She's the one that comes up with the important tips and intercepts and important times of the game. And she also does now those super shots. So I think her standing up is going to mean a Fever win. But I think, you know, Helen Housby probably a little bit quiet the last 2 weeks. She's got shut down by the Thunderbirds defenders. For me, I think, though, it has to come from Maddie Proud and Paige Hadley in that midcourt. We saw both of them hit the bench at one time. For me, I just think they're so experienced. They've played in grand finals. They've won grand finals. They've got cool, calm heads on them. And ultimately, they are the ones that need to get the ball from any turnover down into their attacking end and finish off with the feed, which is where they kind of faltered during the week. So I think for me, it's those two middies for the Swifts. But in the Fever attack end, it's definitely Sasha Glasgow. Who are you tipping?
Oh, well, I'm thinking about it and, you know, being a former Swift, I think I am going for the Swifts, but I think they would have learned a lot. I've got a lot of faith in Bryony that they can work really hard this week on those work-ons that you mentioned, Seabass. Like, I think they do have the ability to do it. So I'm backing the Swifts. What do you think?
Yeah, look, it's tough. Swift's had a 9-game winning streak run this season. Like, they've definitely got it in them. We've seen that they can beat the Swifts. The Fever, they can beat anyone in this competition if they really try hard. West Coast Fever, though, you know, they're the reigning champions for a reason. They know how to get to the grand final. They know how to perform. For them, they're coming off the confidence of a big win or big 7 goals against the Vixens. They know they only have one more game to get into that grand final. I agree with you. I think Swifts will have learnt. I think that they play their best when their backs are against the wall. They're going to be playing in Sydney, so they're going to have the home crowd with them. And to be honest, I have loved the games where Swifts and Thunderbirds have played each other the most this season. They've been the tightest, most exciting games. So looking forward, I think I want that grand final to happen. So I'm going to say Swifts for the win.
Oh, yes, I love it. Okay, I'm going to get into some player movement in the ANZ Premiership. So the Pulse, they have named their shooters and their midcourt. So they've got Amelia Walmsley, Tiana Maturo, Kiana Williams is back. So she played. Were you with her at the Magic? And then she.
I was with her at the Magic. Yes. Yeah.
She's an incredible young player. She got injured, so she didn't play at all this season, I believe. So she'll be with the Pulse. So I think that's a good move for her. Whitney Souness with the Pulse, Maddie Gordon, Fa'amu Ioane, Paris Mason and Kelly Drury. So that's 8 players, sorry. Christiana Manua will not be back at the Pulse. And let me have a look at our other teams that I've got here.
Will not be back at the Pulse, or will not be back playing in New Zealand?
Don't know. Do you know anything, Seabass?
I know nothing. I saw the list and I was interested. When I saw her name wasn't there, I was like, oh, I wonder what Chris is doing.
I agree. And then all this, yeah, like I know she loved her time at the Pulse. They loved her. But she would always say to me, oh, gosh, like it's just getting so tough on my body. And she did have that big Achilles injuries a couple years ago. But she's still young. So I'm hoping maybe she's going somewhere else. Possibly, I don't know, back to the Giants. Who knows?
Oh, well, you never know, do you?
Because they are looking, now that April's gone, I have seen that they do need a defender. All right, the Mystics, they have got their 10. Phoenix Kartika, Kara Stith, Michaela Soklic-Beatson, Petra Tuiava, Grayson Wecker, Katie Tao, Catherine Hall, Phil Davui, Taylor Earl, and Hannah Glenn is moving up from the Tactics. So they're pretty much the same team, really, without Salu Fitzpatrick. And then the Magic, they've got Regan De Bono. They've got quite a few new players, the Magic. So Regan De Bono, Georgie Edgecombe, Emilia Encarnacio is playing on. So you always wonder, will these players continue playing after World Cup? But Mills, she is playing. Oceane Maihi, who was with the Magic, but did her ACL in preseason. So we didn't actually see her out on court this year. Edina Makaidia is playing again. So that's great news. Xavier Tui is going to the Magic. So she is moving on from the Steel. Claire O'Brien, Ivana Rowland, Georgia Takarangi, and Ali Wilshire. So exciting. Oh, and we've got
to see Claire.
Yes,
see little Cobby Claire there. I messaged her because she obviously was, you know, filled in at the Mystics this year and helped them win that grand final. Rob Wright being there obviously brought her over from Australia. So when I saw her on the Magic list, I was super jealous. I messaged her to say congratulations, but she's going to have a ball down there, and getting to play with Meals, I think, will just be a dream come true for her.
Yeah, and she's such, like, I don't know how to describe her, but I feel like she's always one of those players you want in a team that brings the vibes, that is always fun and is willing to work hard when it's time to work hard. So I think she's a great get for the Magic. And then the Steel, sorry, they're the ones who have named their shooting in their mid-quarter. So they've got Georgia Fisher, Shannon Saunders is coming back after having her first baby. So she missed all this season. And then they also have Kate Heffernan, Georgia Heffernan, Renee Savaiinea, Ivari Christie, and Grace Namino, who has sort of been a replacement player in the ANZ Premiership over the years. Very crafty, accurate shooter. And then I also see in the new CBAS that Stacey Marinkovic has re-signed for another 4 years.
She has. Yes, she has, which is interesting. Before a World Cup, normally they wait until after that cycle before they name it. So definitely confidence in her abilities going forward and trust in her game plan. Interested to note, though, no Sammy Winders on the Steel list. What do you reckon she's going to do next season?
I don't know, because they did a lovely post wishing her well. So I thought, what does this mean? And all the spots are filling up quickly. She was very happy down in Invercargill with her husband because he is a shearer. So I just don't know what Sammy's going to be up to be honest.
Are there any other big names that aren't on lists or haven't signed that has kind of surprised you a little bit? Like, we know Ellie Temu is going to be coming over here and potentially putting her hand up over here. We spoke about, just players, I guess, moving on and doing other things. But, yeah, who else is on the list that we kind of didn't see and expected to see?
For me, actually, it was just those players. Like, we know Gina Crampton won't be playing. Emilia Encarnacio, I was happy to see that she re-signed. So, for me, it's just those kind of older players who will be playing at a World Cup this year to see them re-sign. Shannon Saunders, she was a big surprise. So great to see that she'll be coming back. So there's only a few more spots left. So I guess watch this space. I think we'll hear more from the Stars very, very soon. Jamie Hume will not be playing for them, unfortunately. So I'd be interested to see where she goes. I hear she could possibly be looking in Australia. I'm not sure. And then the Silver Ferns, they head into camp today. And so they already had camp last week. So while SSN is still going, Dame Nolene Toto is putting the Ferns to work over here.
What do you reckon they're doing at camp? Have you heard any whispers?
I just know that they are running a lot. So they are training very, very hard. But yeah, so, and then Dame Knowles, all she's really said is that if you do the same thing, you get the same results. They're working on different stuff. And yeah, just pretty much she's using this time as much as she can with the girls.
It's funny. I am working on a presentation at the moment and I found the World Cup 2019 on my laptop and I have never watched the game.
Did you watch it?
I went through and watched it just because I was like, I'd parked it so long ago and I'd pushed all those bad feelings down. And you know what? Like when I look back at it now, I'm like, it was such a different game that I'd made it out in my head, and probably lots of things I'd been beating myself up about over the years I looked back on now with a different perspective and went, okay. So yeah, it's always interesting to go back and watch that, but it does feel like such a long time ago. It's 4 years rolls around so quickly, doesn't it?
No, it does. And I can still remember that game too. And I think I saw, we must have been doing highlights for Silver Ferns at work and stuff. And I remember seeing, I think it might have been like the last 5 minutes. And like me watching it back, even though I was there watching for work, but watching it back, it was different in my, it was just like, it could have went either way. You know, it was one of those games. And like when you see both teams standing up on the benches, just like yelling and screaming in those dying moments. And just, and it was, I remember it being so loud in there. But yeah, when you look back at it, I'm like, it actually was one of those games where anyone could have won on the day.
Oh dear. They love me.
Well, I'm excited for this weekend, and I'm excited to hear more signings from New Zealand and maybe some tidbits out of the Ferns camp. But until then, thank you so much for joining us again. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode with the one and only April Brandley, and we look forward to joining you again next week. See you next Tuesday.